The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will, to the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 8. And as I speak tonight on a challenging invitation, we understand that God has many invitations, but every invitation ought to be a challenge to your heart. And I'm going to give you some of the times in the Bible where God himself gives the believer an invitation. James chapter 4 and verse 8, as I read a moment ago, the Bible says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." And so we see here that God tells us what to do. He says to draw nigh to him. Now, in response to that, God says, "What I will do is I will draw nigh to you." May I say, you can be as close to God tonight as you want to be. I said you can be as close to God tonight as you want to be. There's nobody stopping you. It was Israel that bound the hands of God because of their lack of faith. Now, can I tell you, you and I ought never to try to bound the hands of God. God is rich unto all of them that call upon him. Now, by the way, may I say that is just not for the unbeliever, for you and I that call upon him, he will be there. He will answer prayer. He will come through and he will work in people's lives. And so as we talk about these individual invitations tonight, I want you to ask yourself, is that one for me? Is that one for me? I'm going to name several tonight. And you ought to ask yourself tonight, is that one for me? Let me name a couple as we go into it now. Statement number one, he says, "Come on to me. Come on to me." Now, who's he say that to? Over in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through 30, he says, "Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find," here it is again, "rest for unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So he says, for those that are laboring, he says to come on to him. Those also that are heavy laden, he says, "I want you to come on to me." All right? So he says to those tonight that are laboring, those that are heavy laden, two different type of categories, if you will. He says, "I want you to come on to me." So if you find yourself toiling, if you find yourself laborious, if you find yourself, if you would please, somebody that is not restful in the things that you're doing in your service for God, here's what he says. He says, "I want you to come on to me." And by the way, if you don't come on to him, he cannot help you. If you do not get in the yoke with him, he cannot help you to be able to sustain your load. You have got to come on to him. That's a choice. That's a choice. Everybody makes a choice. People choose nowadays how close they'll be to God and how far they'll be away from God. People choose that. People choose how often they pray and how often they choose not to pray. That's a choice. People choose how much they read the Bible and if they do not read the Bible at all. That's a choice. People make choices in their life. Now, I do submit to you, you can be as close to God as you want to be. You can be as close to God as you want to be. You can have as much of God's power on your life as you want to have. You can have God working in you and God working through you to the degree that you yield yourself to God himself. So he says to these that are laboring, to these that are heavy laden, to those that are unrestful, if you will please, in one of those areas, God says simply, "Come on to me." Now I want to ask you, is that an invitation to you? Are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? Are you coming on to him? Are you coming on to him? Are you trying to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders? Are you trying to do the work of the Lord in the arm of the flesh? Are you trying to be able to sustain that which is unsustainable without him, yet you're trying to do it without him? Now, God says this, unto those that are trying to do that, he simply says, "Come on to him." All right? And by the way, you come on to him, you get in a yoke with him, and it's something because when you you yoke up with God, as we've given illustration about it many times before, when you yoke up with God, it's like yoking up a small mule to a big pulling mule. And what takes place is this, the bigger one pulls the weight. Now, you can't get any bigger than God. And so when you yoke up with God, God can help you pull the weight. You do not have to take and try to do it all by yourself. God did not make you that way. Nowhere in the Bible does God call you an adult. Not one place in the Bible does God treat you as an adult. God always talks about you as His child, as one of His children. For some reason here in the American system, we have this crazy philosophy that once a person graduates high school, that they're an adult, or once the person reaches a certain age, that they're an adult. But yet in the Bible, God talks about you all the time. And no matter how old you are, you never outgrow being one of His children. And He wants you to come to Him as one of His children. You should never outgrow relying on Him. Never outgrow reading about how to please Him. Never outgrow obeying Him. Never outgrow trying to do things that would bring His blessings in your life. And so here's what God says. God says simply, come on to me. Then He says this. He says, follow me. So once you come on to Him, you're supposed to follow Him. Follow Him. Now, sometimes that's hard. Matter of fact, the Bible says to take up your cross and to follow Him. That doesn't mean you're supposed to let your cross weigh you down so you don't have enough energy, enough strength, enough ability to follow Him. No, God says if you got a cross, what you're supposed to do is not let your cross stop you. Isn't it amazing how somebody gets a cold and it keeps them out of church on Sunday, but they go to work on Monday? See, we choose where we carry our crosses, don't we? Oh, somebody says, well, I've got to provide for my family. Well, if you trust in God, maybe God can help you provide for your family. It's something about putting God first that changes everything in your life. Now, I'm saying this. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 9 and verse 9, and Jesus passed, it says, forth. Hence, it says, and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. All right, so what do you do when it comes time to be able to follow Him? Oh, you simply, you don't try and talk yourself out of it. No, no, no. You simply rise up and do it. If God instructs you to do something and God gives you a command to do something, what you're supposed to do is simply rise up and do it. You know, soul winning is not hard for the person that does it. Going to church is not hard for the person that does it. Tithing, my dear friend, is not hard for the person that does it. It's the person that doesn't do it that finds it difficult to do. Why? Because they've never stepped into the blessing of obedience whereby God does not give them the strength and the understanding to be able to continue to obey Him. Somebody says riding a bike is hard. Well, it's not hard once you get on it. You know, it's not hard to ride a horse, but you got to get on it first. It's not hard to drive a car when you're mature enough to. Once you get in it, I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's what he says. He says, follow me. Follow me. We're not supposed to give excuses as to why we follow Him. We're simply supposed to rise up, and by faith, we're supposed to step out, and by faith, we're supposed to be obedient, and by faith, we're supposed to put Him first, and by faith, we're supposed to follow Him. Amen. Now, that's what we're supposed to do. And by the way, you can have all sorts of people try and get in your way. Isn't it interesting, in your Bible, as you study your Bible, the Bible never says, what have hindered you? Never one time do you read that in your Bible. Here's what you do read. Who have hindered you? You see, you have people, stand up, you're good at it. You have people, if you would please, pulling on you. All right, and so you stand up. We'll use you again, that same illustration type, but different scenario. And so, man, I'm trying to live for God, and somebody's trying to pull me back. Now, they may pull me back by saying a negative word. They may pull me back by having a critical tongue. They may pull me back by sarcasm. They may pull me back by their unbelief. You say, well, I really believe that God could bless. And they may say something like this. Well, you be careful. You be careful. You may say, well, I really believe that God could do this. And they say something like this. Well, are you sure? Are you sure? You may say, I think that God could use me this way, and God could use me that way. And before you know it, their questions, their doubts, and their criticism begins to turn you. Begins to turn you. You know what you do with somebody like that? I start to walk this way, and I said, I believe I'm going to follow God.
Oh, no,
I am. God bless you. Have a good day. And I just go on. You don't let somebody tag you down. You know, oh, come on, you're playing football, and all of a sudden they hike the ball, and you get the ball. You get that, 13 ounces of pigskin in your hand. And now, all of a sudden, you say, well, I'll tell you what, I just don't think I ought to run the ball, because if I run the ball, they might hurt me. I don't think, maybe I ought to make friends with these fellows over here. And if I shake their hand, I'm real kind to them, maybe they'll let me through. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Now, I know this for sure. We are living in a very passive type of society today. It used to be that right was right and wrong was wrong. Now you got to be careful, because they say, well, if you say that's wrong, that's called hate speech. And if you say that's right, you better be careful that you're politically correct the way that you say it, because you might hurt somebody's feelings. And now, all of a sudden, they come up with this new strategy, and don't give anybody an F, because if you give them an F on the report card, even though they got 67%, you might hurt their feelings telling them that they failed. Well, how in the world are we going to build a nation of people with character and people that's going to go forward and people that's going to serve God if we don't teach our young people to rise up and what is right is right and what is wrong and just decide we will follow God? I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that there's invitations that he gives for those that are laboring and are heavy laden, for those that don't find rest. He says, come on to me. Is that your invitation? For those tonight that say, well, I tell you what, I do want to follow him, but I've got this holding me back. It may be finances, or this holding me back. It might be a person, or this holding me back, or it might be a thing in your life. He says, follow me. Is that your invitation? Statement number three, thank you, be seated. Look at it, Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. He says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Now, wait a minute. Charles Haddon Spurgeon stepped inside of that little primitive Methodist type of church one day. He was trying to go to his own church, and it was snowing out bad. It was blizzarding out bad. He could not make his way to his home church. So he stepped inside because he heard some Christians singing. And he sat on the back row as a little boy. And it was storming outside so bad, the preacher did not even show up. And a deacon, all nervous as he was, got up behind the pulpit. And he opened his Bible to the book of Isaiah. And he says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And he preached it, and he got excited as he saw the young visitor paying attention on the back row against the wall. And he hit it over, and he hit it over, and he hit it over again, and he hit it over again, and he hit it over again, and he hit it over again. And God, by way of the Holy Spirit, brought conviction to that young boy's life. And he bowed his heart, and he received Christ as Savior, and became a great pastor and a great preacher of the gospel years later, simply because somebody said, look unto me. Could God use you? Could God give you an invitation to go to your relatives and say, look unto me as you talk about the Lord? Could God use you? You don't have to know much. You don't have to be special. You might have to get over some laziness. You might have to get over some passiveness. You might have to get over some fearfulness. You might have to just decide to be able to care about people. And, you know, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to go up and give somebody a gospel tract. It doesn't take much. But is God going to use you to help others to be able to look onto Him? To look onto Him. Could God use you that way this coming year? Where you could dedicate yourself to say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go around and just say, look onto Him. Look onto Him. Look onto Him. Look onto Him. All ye the ends of the earth, look unto Him. Realize that He's your God. And you can be saved because there is none other. Look unto Him. Look unto Him. Look unto Him. Come unto Him. Receive Him as Savior. And let people hear how to be saved. I'm so proud of the Salazars down in Mexico right now. Man. Taking of their own money. Yeah. We didn't send them. Taking of their own money. Providing food for all the villages they could find and giving the gospel and excited about people getting saved. What's he doing? He's just saying, look on to him. Look on to him. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that could that be your invitation? Could it be your invitation if you're laden with heaviness and you don't have rest to come on to him? Could it be your invitation to lay the things aside or to step aside from the person that's holding you back and to follow him? Could that be your invitation? Could it be your invitation to look onto him and help others to look onto him so that they might be saved? Could that be your invitation? What about this tonight? He says, reason with me. Reason with me. Now, when you reason with somebody, here's what happens. You're trying to be able to persuade them. You're trying to be able to negotiate them into an area of understanding. Here's what God says. God says, I want you to reason with me. By the way, listen to me. God's reasoning is far above and far superior to man's reasoning. A parent says, well, I think I ought to raise my children this way, but God in his word says this. I'm going to tell you what, you ought to obey God in his word rather than your way. All these people write these books on child rearing. I'm for it. I'm for it. I'm for it. If it's Bible based. Amen. But if it's not Bible based, then I think they ought to chuck the books and get the Bible. Amen. Now, I'm saying this. Here's what we understand. The Bible talks here how a person ought to come to him and allow him to be the one that reasons with them. Have you ever done this? A man of God preaches, and in your heart, here's what you're doing. In your heart, you're considering those things. You're considering those things. All of a sudden, now you're paying attention, and maybe the preacher hits the pulpit, draws your attention back up. All of a sudden, now a verse is put in there, and the Holy Ghost of God is beginning to take that verse and move it around inside of your heart. And what are you doing? You're reasoning with God. You're considering things with God. And by the way, no man can change you, but God can. Listen to it. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Now, what is he saying? He's saying this. He's saying, not only should you reason with me, but know me. See, there is nobody that you can know and nobody that can help you more than God. But where do you get that from? Well, you get that by going back to reasoning with him. Because the more you reason with him, the more you get to know him. Okay, all right. And so a preacher gets up and preacher begins to preach something. And all of a sudden, Holy Ghost comes down. And boy, he begins to work on your heart. And you sit there and you begin to deliberate. You begin to think. How many times have you heard a sermon? And all of a sudden, the preacher preached the message. And as he preached the message, God, the Holy Ghost, pegged you. Pegged you. Now, by the way, he won't peg you unless you listen. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, he that hath ear, let him hear. He says that 7 times in the book of Revelation. If you don't have an ear, that means listening, then you're not going to hear. So you've got to have an ear in order to listen. Oh, how many church services have I and other preachers preached down through the ages, and something else, someone else has the attention of someone, and they're not paying attention to the preaching. Right. Oh, they're playing on their phone. They're jabbing their friend. They're talking about a girl. They're talking about a boy. They're talking about a job opportunity. But they're not paying attention. Well, God cannot get them. God cannot show them anything. You know why? Because they're not in hearing distance. Oh, but preacher, they're here. Oh, they're here, but they're not here. You see, I'm saying this. In order for God and you to get to know God and all that He has for you, you have to let God reason with you in your heart. As the preacher preaches something and all of a sudden you say, I'm going to think about that. And then the Holy Ghost of God says, yeah, think about it this way. Think about it this way. Think about it this way. And you begin to attest to it. And you say, no, I don't want to think about it that way. I want to think about it this way. And then you say, but God, you know, you're bothering me about this. And oh, man, why are you bothering me about this? And God begins to work in your life. And boy, you begin to reason with God. And God begins to reason with you. And by the way, if you're an honest person, God will always win. God will always win. I don't know how many times I've preached at youth camps across America or youth conferences, and man, there would be a teenager there, and teenagers seem to have more problems with it than anybody else except for stubborn men. But, and boy, they'll be there, and you can tell the Holy Ghost is moving inside of that place, and boy, is He doing a work and a half in people's lives and whatnot. But you'll always have one or two teenagers that they're not paying attention. You know, I don't know why they came to church or why they came to the camp, but you know, they're sitting there and they got their head down, and you know, they're no more interested in a man in the moon. Probably came for a girl or something, and that's about it. But did you know this? Did you know this? Did you know this? All of a sudden you see God working over here, and 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 God working over here. And God will work in the hearts of those that listen. God always does that. Oh, I've seen some of the happiest Christians. A little girl, I was preaching over in the Philippines, and she was sitting on the third row, and she came up to me afterwards. Her face was all marred. And her face was all marred. And she said, preacher, do you really think that God could use me? She had a boyfriend. She broke up with the boyfriend. The boyfriend burned her. Her face was all burnt. And she told me this and had an old fat lip. She said, I used to be beautiful. She said, you don't believe it, do you? What do you say? Do you say yes? Do you say no? I said, well, I'm going to take your word at it. She said, I got a picture to prove it. She pulled her picture out. I said, that's you? Pretty little girl. She said, well, that was me. She told me the story how she had a boyfriend. She broke up with the boyfriend. The boyfriend went into a rage, went into anger. And one night they were in a car together alone. Shouldn't have did that. The car together alone. Shouldn't have did that. In a car together alone. He got mad at her, threw gasoline in her face, and lit her face on fire, burned her flesh. And here she is, and she came up to me, and she said, this is what I used to look like. And then she asked me the question, do you think God could ever use somebody as ugly as me? I said, what do you mean? You see, you didn't lose your beauty because of your outward adornment. Oh, no, God loves you for who you are. No matter what you go through, no matter what your past is, God loves you for who you are. And I said, oh, yes, I believe that God could use you. By the Friday night, that little girl, we gave the invitation, that little girl came forward and she surrendered to be a missionary. She's a missionary today serving God on the mission field. Now, wait a minute. How is that so? Because she allowed God to reason with her. She allowed God to... We get so preoccupied, folk. Come on. We get so preoccupied. I mean, even us adults. Come on, let me talk to you. We get so preoccupied. We come to church and it's like, oh, I'm here, but I want to get out. I mean, I got to go somewhere. And then you're going to get out there and you're going to get in line somewhere and you're not going to go anywhere anyway. The other night when I was preaching, I could have preached on for 2 hours. You know why? Because it was raining outside. Once we got done, nobody wanted to go outside anyway. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here's what happens. God wants to reason with you. Are you allowing God to reason with you? Are you open to the preaching? Are you open to let God reason with you? You're not going to know Him like you should know Him unless you allow Him to reason with you inside of your personal life. Amen. It's got to be you and God. You said, but preacher, I'm struggling. There's nobody. I said, there's nobody that can help you like God can help you. Amen. There's nobody. So what do? You decide that you're going to let God do His work. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand the parents I've got. You don't understand the friends I've got. No, but I do understand the God that you have. Amen. And the God that you have can help you in every single step of the way if you just let him help you. Statement number one, he says, come on to me. Who's he say it to? Those that are laboring. Those that are heavy laden. Those that don't have peace. He says, you come on to me. Is that your invitation? He says, follow me, those that are sitting at the register, those that are bound down by things or by a person. He says, stop that. He said, just come on to me, come on to me, come on to me. Is that your invitation? Is your invitation, look on to me? It might be that you ought to be taking that out and telling people, look on to him, look on to him, look on to him, look on to him, look on to him. I'll be honest with you, I can't go soul winning any more than I'm going soul winning, but I can keep up going soul winning as much as I'm going soul winning. I'm tapped out, but I can stay tapped out. I can give it one more year. All right, I can bring people to him. All right, then reason. Does God want a reason? Are you open to the preaching? Are you open? Well, I tell you what, I'm not open to it because I've had a critic in my life. I've had somebody to just get me not where I'll listen to all the preaching and all the teaching. I just don't want to do it no more. And are you letting God reason inside of your life? You're letting God, you and God. You let God reason inside of your life by reading your Bible. Did you know that? Did you know that? You can pick up your Bible tonight. Open your Bible when you get home at night and lay awake in your bed and read your Bible. And by reading the Bible, God will reason with you. How many men I've seen get saved in prison? And I say, how'd you get saved? I was reading the Bible and I got saved. Reading the Bible and I got saved. I don't know how many people I've given gospel tracts to, and then later on I find out because they'll write me a note or something. They'll say, thank you for that piece of paper. They won't call it a tract. Thank you for that piece of paper. I read that piece of paper that you gave me and I got saved. All right? And so I'm saying this. Are you allowing God to reason inside of you through that teaching and through that preaching or through that word of God that you read? And then, of course, do you know him like you should? Do you know him like you should? Then lastly, and this is it, prove him. Prove him. Here's an invitation for those that are holding on to their finances. I tell you. I had a person come to my office, and they said, preacher, they said, we live in a nasty trailer, falling apart, nasty. But we want you to teach us about finances. I said, okay, I'll be glad to. Let me ask you first, number one question, do you tithe? They said, well, we don't have enough money to tithe. I said, friend, you don't have enough money not to tithe. The reason you're living in the nasty trailer now is the reason you'll stay living in the nasty trailer for the next 10 years. You don't put God first, and God's not going to help you with your finances. He will not. He will refuse to. You put him first in your finances, and God always makes a way to bless his people. But you don't put him first, God's in control. He says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means he owns not just the earth, but he owns everything inside the earth. God is the one that blesses. Oh, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, well, man robbed God. You have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings is his answer. He says, now you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, Father, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there not be room enough to receive it. All right, so here's what he says. He says this. He says a person will rob him. How? In tithes, but not just tithes, in offerings. Now, we understand that tithing is baby giving. That is what God expects you to do. If you would please, that's obeying him. But when you give an offering, if you will, then you're getting into blessing giving. If you want God to withstand his judgment upon you, you tithe. If you want God to bless you, you give an offering above the tithe. Right. You go from romper room to first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 12th grade, college, wherever you are in your giving. But if you want God to bless you, oh, we've said this. I learned this, of course, from our dear friend, Dr. J.C. House, where the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, running together. But it talks about giving and measurement. And so by the same way that you measure it to God, it's the same way God measures it back to you. He doesn't change it. He's still going to press it down. It's still going to be running over. But here's the principle. I wish you'd get it. I got it years ago under his preaching way back in Central days when I was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi as a younger man on staff. I got it when he came in to preach. I got it then. The basic teaching is this. If you give to God in a thimble, he is going to give you more back. He's going to press it down. It's going to be running over, but you're getting it back in a thimble. God said, I'm going to give you more than you gave me, but I'm going to measure it the same way you measured it to me. So you give it to me in a thimble, I'll give it back to you in a thimble. You give it to me in a cup, I'll give it back to you in a cup. Oh, I'm going to press it down, it's going to be running over, but it's going to be measured in the cup that you gave me. I'm going to give it back the same way. I'll give you more, but I'm going to measure it the same way you measured it onto me. Well, when I got this as a young believer, it changed my life forever. Amen. You give it to me in a gallon, I'll give it back to you in a gallon. Difference is, I'm going to press it down. And I'm gonna make it run over. You give it to me in a gallon, I'll give it back to you in a gallon. You give it to me in 10 gallons, I'll give it back to you in 10 gallons. Only difference is it's going to be pressed down and running over. You give it to me in 50 gallons, I'm going to give it back to you in a 50-gallon container. Only difference is I'm going to press it down, it's going to be running over. See, the problem is most of us, we don't have the faith to trust God for more than a thimble. But whenever you grow and you decide that, hey, I'm going to outgrow the thimble, God will bless you with more, but only by your step of obedience. Oh, a young couple gets married, and one of the first things they do is they cut God out of their finances. They have a child. First thing they do is cut God out of their finances. Then they wonder why. They have nothing to their name and scraping, barely getting by. Okay, you gave God nothing, so God gives you nothing back. He's pressing it down, it's running over. What do you get back? You get pressed down, running over, nothing back. You gave him air, he gives you air back. Hello? I wish we could understand how God works in the financial department. See, God owns it all. Do we get that? God owns it all. So when I'm right by God, God is right by me. When I pastored up in Tennessee many years ago, I had a cantankerous man come to my office, and he took his tithing envelopes and he threw them all over the office. Wealthy man was he. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm not going to tithe anymore. He said, I'll run you out of town. You're not going to get my money. I said, you're not my supplier. God's my supplier. I came here, and God took care of me before I came, and God will take care of me while I'm here. Thank you. Now, if you don't want to be right with God, let God kick your rear end all the way down the highway, that's up to you. But I said, that's between you and God. But as for me and my Lord, we're going to have a good time. Now, here's the deal. Did you know that God is the one that will rebuke the devourer? Here's what he says in that same chapter. Read it. And he says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and your fruit shall not come before its time. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, he says that when you give of your first fruits, that your barns shall be filled. Pretty good. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, what's your invitation tonight? He says, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Is that your invitation? He says, follow me. Set aside the things. Just follow him. Put him first. Don't let nothing else get in the way of serving Jesus Christ. Is that your invitation? He says, look on to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Could you tell other people to do that? Is that your invitation? He says, reason. Come, let us reason together. Are you allowing the Word of God to have residence in your heart so that now you can let the Holy Ghost reason inside of your heart and show you the truth? Is that your invitation? He says, know me. Is that your invitation? He says, prove me. Prove me. What is your invitation tonight? See, God has a challenge through every invitation. Oh, I learned this many years ago. I never counsel a person in my office without getting a commitment. Never do. It'd be a waste of time. It'd be a waste of time. Don't come to me unless you want me to put you on the spot and get a commitment out of you. Because I'm going to get a commitment out of you if I counsel you. Now, why? Because it'd be a waste of time if I don't. Just be air. Just be nothing. I never, never preach a message without giving an invitation. Oh, there's some that choose to come and make decisions. There's some that choose to not come, not make decisions. That's up to them. But as a preacher, every time I preach, I want to give people the outlet to be able to make decisions for Christ. Now, may I say, what is your invitation tonight? Would it be these or one more? Something else different inside of your heart.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.